Welcome back to Finding My Perfect Awkward, and this week I'm with Kelbin, who, first of all, is one of the most genuine people I've ever met. I met him at MSBC last year, and you are the producer of Hits 96.1 Miguel and Holly. Hello!
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm so good. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course. And by the way, it's executive producer. I'm just kidding. There's no real difference, to be honest. I was thinking the other day, Holly goes to me, oh my God, what story should I do? The JVN one about him being a diva backstage, or should we do Taylor Swift? And I go, do the JVN one. And Miguel goes, no, do the Taylor Swift one. And I was like, then what the fuck is the point of me being executive producer? It was very funny. It sounds awful, but it was super funny.
You are executive. You are associates, you are everything producer, all wrapped into one.
Yes, it's multiple hats.
Multiple hats, yeah. So speaking of radio and media journey, I want to know, first of all, a little bit about your media journey. How did you get to where you are? Where did you start?
Whew. So I was born and raised in Miami, Florida. Okay. And for me, I always grew up on listening to Elvis Duran and The Morning Show. That was like my number one radio station. And then sometimes I would flip over to Power 96 and listen to DJ Laz. He was like our main other morning show host in South Florida. And for me, I didn't necessarily know I wanted to do radio. I just always loved radio. I just never thought that me and radio would ever match up. But I went to college and I went to the University of Florida, and I really wanted to get into news broadcast. And it was really difficult to just get in the program. Like, you can get into the J school, but to get into the actual news program was super hard. So I kind of pivoted into production work and learning all the backgrounds of it. And for some odd reason, my advisor at the time was like, well, we need you to do something. You can't just do your classes. You have to be involved in something. And I was like, well, then what's open? What's available? I didn't really care to do that. I just wanted to get my degree and get out. Yeah. And she was like, well, we have, I can't remember what it was called, but it was some sort of radio thing where we would read like the magazines or like the food prices for people who, you know, weren't able to see the magazines and the prices of things. So we would read them the prices of like the grocery list. And from there, I guess that's where that started. I was like, okay, fine, I'll do that. But it wasn't until I got into Rock 104, which was like the second level of the electives that you had to do. And that's when I started to really enjoy radio. It was the first time I ever got bitched at for saying the wrong city. It was the first time I got bitched at for saying the wrong artist name. So getting that all out of the way in college it felt really good. It humbled me a lot because, you know, in college at the time, you think you're the shit. You think you're like amazing. And then, so that's how my radio career, I guess you would say, started. I did a few podcasts, college stuff, and then I graduated and I couldn't get a job to save my life. I got nominated for a college Emmy, which I ended up winning.
Ooh, good so, for you.
It was one of the coolest experiences of my life. Yeah. And I thought, all right, well, I'm going to get all the opportunities now. And I did not. I had an interview at a radio station, did not get the job for as a promo person straight out of winning that Emmy. And then I think I waited a year later until finally an old friend from an old internship at iHeartRadio was like, we need a traffic person. Can you come in? And I was like, I just got promoted at my advertising job. I was working at an advertising job. And I had only been there for 3 months. It was like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. And she was like, you either leave that full-time job with benefits for this part-time, or I don't know when the next opportunity is to get into this radio station. Oof. And I was like, fuck it. Let's do it. So I quit my advertising job. I couldn't even give them a full 2 weeks. It was the week of Thanksgiving. So I was like, I need to leave on Tuesday. So technically this is my last week, and they were not happy. But I was so excited. I was so excited getting that first phone call.
Finally. Yes.
And so I finally got in. That's like the condensed version of the story, because there was a lot of other things going around that time, but that's basically what it was. It was an old friend from an old internship. She thought of me, thankfully. And I had been working so hard on my online stuff while I was doing advertising. just to get my name out there, and it was impossible. It wasn't until that first connection with a friend that I got into the building, and then from there, that's where my career started.
Now, how did you get with Miguel and Holly?
So, I'll give you a short synopsis of what happened at that first radio station. I worked my way up first year doing traffic, part-time stuff. Then the next year happened and they took me off of afternoons. They were like, no, the afternoon host is just going to do traffic for herself. You can help out our assistant program director. And I was super in my feelings about it. I was not happy. But I was like, okay, fine, whatever. Let's just do this. And then the next year, COVID. And by that point, I had been hustling really hard to try to get my name out there, throw my name in the ring. And you know how radio is. Until somebody either dies, leaves, or gets fired, then a slot opens. And this sounds awful, but thankfully to COVID, I feel like a lot of things moved around and changed. And I was able to get a spot on a morning show. And so it was me and two others. And by that point, Miguel and Holly, we worked at the same... Why do I keep getting text messages? Sorry. It's literally Holly and Miguel actually texting.
I was about to say, that's like the fourth ding. Are you okay?
Yeah, we're fine. It's Miguel and Holly literally texting us with our boss group chat. And they're this. That's what they're
saying. Miguel! All right. What is that? Shaving cream? What the hell is that? He's getting hit.
Sorry. So I finally got on the morning show. This is my third year in radio, which is insane. And I was so excited. And at that time, Miguel and Holly were working for Cox Media Group in Tampa. And I was Cox Media Group as well, but in Miami. So it was always admiring from afar. I always knew of them by that point because I just wanted to see what other morning shows were doing in the company. And they were always the gold star standard. And I love what they did. I wish we could do just all the fun and the genuine conversations that they had in our show. But the way that Miami was run was so different.
Yeah.
And yeah, so quickly I would actually hit up Miguel probably a few times and ask him about advice and things like that. And he was always willing to help me out. So they were always like kind of on the radar. They would always see our stuff too. And we'd always be in contact like that. And it wasn't until a year and a half into this morning show that I was on in Miami, they end up firing my two co-hosts. And I had no idea. I did not know that was going to happen. And I was totally unprepared. Nobody in the company prepared me for how to handle all of that. And it was just, hey, we're going to have you off air for a week. And then that Monday, we're just going to have you go on. And it was awful. It wasn't something that I was like, oh my God, my own morning show. Yay. Great. It was positioned so, so strangely because those two were my friends. They were a pain in the ass, but they were my friends. And at the end of the day, like it was a change that I had to be responsible for addressing, not only on social media, but on air as well. So it was a really difficult time, but after a while I was like, okay, let me take control of this and handle this the best way that I could. And I did it for about 9 months on my own. My show, unfortunately, was watered down. I could only talk into songs. I couldn't have long form discussions, report entertainment news. And so after a while, there were so many stories that I really wanted to talk about that I was really passionate about. And I just couldn't because there was no time for it.
For a morning show?
For a morning show. Okay. In a top 10 market.
Okay.
And so, you know, at the end of the day, the people up top over there know way more than I do, have been in the industry way longer than I have. And so they made the decisions as to why they wanted to go that route. So to me, it was like, I'm trying to follow this. I didn't really like it, but you guys know more than me. So let's just go with it. Sure. After a while, when you're not able to speak about the things that you're really passionate about and want to talk about in the community, because there was no time for it. It's kind of soul sucking. And I really wasn't happy at the end of the day. I always say this every single time, the money was popping. Best money I've ever had in my life. But at what cost, right?
Probably bored out of your mind, but you know.
Bored, unmotivated, but rich. So it was just a weird time. Cause it was everything that I wanted, right? It was I want this. I want my own show and I want to be on mornings and I want to be rich. And I had those things, but it wasn't necessarily what I kind of wanted.
Well, and you're not entirely in it for the money.
That part, because the other part of the job is, of course, we all want to get paid. But if I can't talk about the things that I love and care about and try to make some sort of like connection with the community, I couldn't do that in 15 seconds.
Yeah.
I could only just be quirky and cute. So I did it. I ended up starting to look for more jobs. They never had me on a contract. And so I was a free agent for my whole career. And I started to see what was around, what would fit me best. I think I started to realize I had anxiety just being the only person on a show. And I realized that it was just a lot. It was just a lot. All the pressure was kind of on me.
Yeah.
And I realized I didn't like it anymore. So I was like, let me step into an executive producer position where I can still help someone build whatever they want as their brands and also still be a third mic and not be as important, but still be part of the conversation. And I felt like it was a beautiful marriage of the two things that I wanted, at least at this point in my career. So I see a WHQC opening for an executive producer, and I was like, let me just go for it. So coincidentally enough, I call Miguel. I call him for advice, and he does not tell me it's for his radio station. He was just giving me proper advice on like, you know, where should my career go? And then it wasn't until like 2 weeks later or so, it was like for Miguel's new station. And so it ended up working out perfectly. Thankfully, he recommended me. And that's where we're here. Now we're here now. I moved from Miami to Charlotte, and we've been together. Today's their 2-year anniversary. I've been here since 2022. So I'm about to make my 2 years.
Almost 2 years. Yeah. And couple things. Can I just say, first of all, 2 years is a long time. A lot can happen in 2 years.
Absolutely.
A lot. So many things, so much growth, so many good and bad things can happen in 2 years. And like, it's commendable because it's a long time to be somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've never lived anywhere else aside from college, but.
Yeah. Moving is a lot, but let alone your hometown for the first time is difficult and a lot.
And terrifying. Like I have family in North Carolina. They're like an hour and a half from here. And I always thought North Carolina was country. I was like, what is this Hispanic boy going all the way to North Carolina? And thankfully, when we came to visit, it seemed pretty diverse. It was not country. It's still not country at all here. And it really just sold me. Like, the trip did sell me. At first, I was a little hesitant because I didn't see myself. I wanted to work with Miguel and Holly, but I just didn't see myself in North Carolina. Yeah. And thankfully, we took a trip right before and we got to check out the city and really enjoyed it. It's very young here. I would have never known unless I came here. The question that I always get all the time is like, oh, how do you feel living here compared to Miami? And I'm like, baby, there's no comparison. There will never be a comparison. Miami is Miami. But living here has so many benefits. Like, it's not as chaotic as South Florida. It's not stuffy. There's not crazy things happening every other weekend. And those are the things that I truly love about Charlotte. I think for me and for some people, it depends who you're talking to, but for some people, they think this is crazy when I say this, is this is the first time I'm living as a minority. And you have to understand, if you've grown up your whole life in Miami and every person you have met, at least 90%, 95%, everyone is Cuban or from some other Latin country. And so for me, the term minority, I never really understood it. It's not that I didn't claim to not be a minority. It's just I never understood what that meant and what relationships and like even silly jokes about that. I never really understood that until I came here. But for me, it can cause you some anxiety sometimes when you feel like you don't look like everyone else. And like I said, that's the first time that's ever happened to me. And I feel like that's been the main difference with this move. People are kind here and it's the South. So that's the one main difference from moving from here to from South Florida?
With your move, with getting acclimated, even now, because it takes time to acclimate, it can take forever. You can pick up and move and then move again. You're still not acclimated to the first place, right?
Yes.
What is something you have experienced that helps you keep your peace?
So if you would have asked me this the first 9 months of living here, I would have said weed. No, I'm just kidding. I'll tell you, the first 9 months of me living here was terrible. And I had no friends. It was just me, my dog, my cat, and my fiance. And it was really lonely, and it was really hard to connect. And so after those 9 months, I ended up meeting one friend that I really connected with, that he was actually a listener of the show and of the podcast. And I was so worried because I had thought, oh my God, he knows like who I am. Cause you know, there's people who listen to the show and that's your personality on the show. But when they hear you on the podcast, you heard when I was hungover that day after brunch. So
yeah.
Once I met him and then our friend group actually formed, I felt like that made my experience so much better and brought me peace. Because for me back home, I have a really small family, and friends for me were always my family. And I felt like that brought me peace in South Florida. Here, when you don't have that, and especially when they're far away, it was just a really, really miserable time being here, to be quite honest. But once I feel like I found my friend group and I started to get the groove of things, that's where peace started forming. I felt like myself again. Even finding a therapist was really hard too. I couldn't connect with like my first two or three therapists because I tried finding peace in that as well. Yeah. And that was pretty difficult. So yeah. I will say after those 9 months and friendships started to form and some sort of, what's the right word? Normality? Is that the right word?
Yeah. Normality.
Normality. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a sense of normalcy, a sense of.
Normalcy. Thank you.
Yeah.
That's probably peace. No hesitation. I love Charlotte, or I miss South Florida. Like, I'll go anywhere at this point. Like, I'm not scared to it as I was the first time.
Yeah.
And I think that was because, yes, you're right. Moving is hard, and it was hard. But now that you've done it once, I'm like, I can do it again. And I don't look back at that time. Like, yes, it was chaotic, but I don't dread it. Like, I wouldn't dread it if I needed to do it again.
Absolutely.
So you're right.
Absolutely. And you learn so much about yourself. And in your case, you had a significant other when you moved.
Yeah.
So,
which I'm super grateful for.
Like, yeah, I was just about to say, so thank goodness you had them. But at the same time, like, it's kind of a different situation too, because you're not just having to worry about yourself. You're trying to be like, well, our lives are moving together.
Oh,
we're going to learn and grow together.
100%. I mean, I was responsible for uprooting this man's life, and I'm hoping he was okay with it. Thankfully he was. He was at a place in his career where he was like, I'm ready to make a move. I'm ready to take a chance. And not funnily enough, he totally earns it. But now he's doing great in his career. Like, his career has skyrocketed after he came here, and I will take credit for that. but the pieces fell really great for him if that made sense. The pieces fell in the right spot for him.
The studio is so freaking cold because we don't have insulation in the windows, but the other side of the studio is like hot, because that's where the heat comes out. Mm-hmm. So, man, I am like, I'll sweat. Even in my apartment, I'm drenched in sweat. And then all of a sudden, I am freezing cold in a blanket.
We don't have any windows, so I'm jealous.
Oh. You don't have any windows?
No windows. We have to, like, step outside. And Miguel will do that at times. He will step outside, like, during a stop set, like, commercial break. And he'll be like, I need to walk. I need to walk. I need to see a tree. So he'll go.
I need to see a tree.
We're just surrounded by like gray walls the whole time. So moved into a brand new building and it's stunning. It's all brand new stuff. And
yeah,
they've downsized a lot of the iHeartRadio stations from like the big, where some places have warehouse radio stations, but the one here, we moved into this really cool hip spot of town, and the windows are like floor to ceiling, right? Floor to ceiling. So mm-hmm. they're really nice. I don't understand why they didn't put the stations on that side of the building and not the one where we're all covered up, but
you can see the outside.
It's fine. We have like these massive TV screens. So sometimes I'll put like a fish tank, or I'll put like a beach, like a live view of a beach, so I can pretend that there's some sunshine. It's fine.
Oh, that's kind of sad.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Would say it doesn't necessarily have to be advice, but something that you want somebody that is moving for the first time or new to media, radio or otherwise, that you want them to know.
Make sure that the pay is enough for you to live life. Proponent in money. I really am. You need to research. If they tell you no the first time, you tell them, well, I can't move out there for that salary. I really wish I was a bigger advocate for myself in that sense, because you're not, like, when you're in a place where you're like, I need to leave this job, I'm not happy, and the job is perfect, but if the pay is not there for you, then what's the point? And then you end up, you're happy you got the job, but then you end up resenting where you're at in life. So like, I know it's not all about the money, but like, I'm sorry, in these times it really is. So be a huge advocate for the money and make sure that you're going to be comfortable in that salary range that you're presented or offered. That would be my first thing. And I know it's always so funny when you talk about money with like vets, they're always like, it'll come. And I'm like, it's there for you right now. It's not there for me right now. I've always said that. Some more advice for somebody moving. It's scary. It's terrifying. You're going to go through a lot of sadness and possible depression, and just really be an advocate for yourself to get out of there. My first therapist that I ever got was in South Florida, and I was really lucky. I was so happy with him. He was incredible. Stuck with him for the whole time that I had started therapy. And when I came here, I always heard people saying like, I just didn't vibe well with my therapist. I just didn't really like them. And I never understood that. I was like, I can't relate. How does mm-hmm. that even happen? How could you not relate? And then I learned. So know that while yes, you are, I don't know the actual percentages, but I will say maybe 7.5 out of 10 chances, it's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. And you're going to be challenged mentally and still needing to perform well at your job. So be prepared for that, but also seek the resources, because there are. Do therapy. Even if your first couple of therapists suck, do it, because it has changed my life when I started it. I started January 2021, and it's changed my life. And I always fully recommend therapy to everyone.
Thank you so much, Kelvin. I met you last year at MSBC, and we gossiped.
100%. We had an epic talking night.
It was so fun. Yes.
So much fun.
Thank you so much for being on this week. I appreciate you.
Of course. Thank you for having me. And hopefully, are you going to San Diego?
I will be there.
Period. Where
can people find you on socials?
You can find me on TikTok, Twitter/X, and Instagram at Kelvin Live.